Once again, a good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I would like to say good morning to those that are online as well. Some of you may not know, but yesterday we talked to Sister Gladys. We talked to her this morning, but yesterday was her birthday, 95th birthday. And she has a beautiful, very clear mind and is a wonderful one of the angels that we have in our church. And so I just want to say to everyone, praise the Lord for giving her an extra year of life. And she's a grandchild, and her son spent the day with her yesterday. And very early, she went to bed. So when I called, she was already resting. So I called her this morning and wish her, in the name of the whole church, happy birthday to her. All right? Surely, your goodness and love will be with me all my life. Interesting that love is not inclusive of your goodness, because God's goodness is supposed to have, love is supposed to be part, because God's goodness, it is his character. And the Bible says clearly, God is love. That's the essence of what he is. Okay? So the title of our message today, of course, as my daughter was singing, is The Goodness of God. I saw this song on YouTube, and I was impressed not only with the quality of the music, but the words. And I encourage you, because usually I don't recommend people to go to YouTube or go anywhere, but this song, it is, if you look for the words, and by the way, in the bulletin, if you have the PDF file, if you receive the PDF, you can click the link, it will give you the words. You can see the words. It's very touching. And so when my daughter was willing to sing, I says, okay, so let's make this a Thanksgiving message, The Goodness of God. God's goodness. Many people are very confused about who God is. There are people, and I mentioned to you here before, I have a prison ministry when we live in El Imperio, El Centro, and the Calipatria. We visit the prison every week. And one notice, I mentioned this story here before, I asked the chaplain, I need to give the Bible to the prisoners so that we can study the Bible. And because they believe that, you can come give Bible studies, but without the Bible. I said, no, we like to give Bible studies with the Bible. And I want to ask them permission to purchase the Bibles and bring them to the prison. And of course, there is a very, very security issue. There are a lot of things have to be done, documents to sign and everything else. But he says, to facilitate, I'll make it easy for you. I have two huge boxes of Bibles. You don't have to pay anything. They are already here. I said, praise the Lord. That saved my church a lot of money. So I said, okay, good. We have the Bibles here. And I could have asked, why they are doing it in a box? You know, but we got the boxes. And here comes the prisoners ready for the class. And I start to open the box and give the Bibles. And we give the Bible, but I noticed that those Bibles are too thin. I said, the quality of the paper must be excellent because the Bible is too thin. And outside, it didn't say New Testament. It said Bible, Holy Bible. And so when we just asked them to open the Bibles, we realized that 39 books were missing. Only 27 of them were there, what the people call the New Testament. And so there was something wrong. So I went to talk to the chaplain and said, those are not Bibles. Those are just part of the Bible. You'll be amazed how many supposed to be, those that call themselves Christians today, go around believing that the New Testament is the Bible. Who wants the Jewish God? He's too mean. He's not really, really good. So what happens is that they want to emphasize that I worship Christ. But they have a problem with the Bible when Christ says, the Father and I are one. And we have the text here. So let's continue to our study. Goodness, God's goodness is the opposite of what many people believe that God is. That God is a harsh God, that he's cruel. And so to experience divine goodness is to enjoy how sweet our God is, how friendly he is, how good he is, and how generous he is. That is the God that I know, and that's the God that I came to talk to you about. This is the God that I worship, not only today, but I want to worship forever. Because when this I see this God, that's the God that I like to be like. I don't want to be any other God. Goodness is the broader category encompassing several of God's moral attributes. So understanding that God's goodness encourages faith, gratitude, and obedience among the faithful. And by the way, many people don't like that word obedience. They like gratitude, they like faith, they like grace, they like everything else. But when it comes to obedience, they drop the whole thing and run. Our view of God shapes every aspect of our life. Many people do not realize that it is important for us to believe in 28 beliefs like we have right now. It is important to know them and adopt them as part of our life. That's what identifies us as a Seventh-day Adventist biblical Christian. But all those things means nothing if you don't know who God is. The young man came to Jesus. He says, "Good master, what do I do to be saved?" He was a good, you know, faithful individual. According to his own statement, he, you know, always in church. He was brought up in church, everything. But he had no clue who God was. And life can be miserable when you are in a church to worship God and you have no idea who he is. It likes a big waste of time. Divine goodness is the overflowing bounty of God by which he transmits his everlasting love to his entire creation. His entire creation. His goodness toward those in misery. How do we call it? We call mercy. What about his goodness to those who sin? What do we call it? Patience. What about his goodness to those who repent? We call grace. That is the God that I worship. That is the God that I invite you to come and worship as well. The goodness of God. Sometimes we talk about, but we do not understand. It is our purpose today that we come to the understanding who God really is. As the slide that we put before, when we know God, then it makes us able to worship him the way truly we should. When we tell of God's goodness, we worship him. We project him. We make people willing to be like him. God's goodness can only be assumed under the fact that God cannot be other than completely, and emphasize on the word completely, perfectly, and absolutely. You got the message, right? Perfectly, completely good. Goodness is what God does. Goodness is what he is. God does not change. You all know the text, right? God changes not. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there is a key in the scripture that allows us to really know God. Do you want to know what that key is? I tell the people that come to prayer meeting, I tell them, don't ever visit any book on the so-called Old Testament without holding the hands of Jesus and let him take you there. Only way you can understand the God that we are talking about from Genesis to Revelation, if you have Jesus at your side. This is the key. I and my Father. Do you want to finish the text? So is it possible for me to worship Christ and not knowing who the Father is? So when people say, oh, Christ, 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 oh, Yahweh, no. Because he's kind of harsh. The wrath of Yahweh, you know, the destroy, all that emphasis that led many people not to believe anything at all because they become confused. Jesus Christ came with one purpose and one purpose alone, is to show us who the Father is so that we are encouraged to become like him. My Father and I are one. And that's the key. You cannot understand anything in the Bible unless you take this key with you. Now that you have known me, Jesus Christ said. He said to them, of course, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you know him. Do you know what the verb to know in the Bible means? To have personal relationship, to become one with. And you have seen him. No, we have not. Yes, look at me. That's what he says. And know what the world needs to know? The world needs to look at you and see the goodness of God. That's what the world needs. When we as Christians live a life that reveals the God that we worship, then there will be more of us around. The goodness of God is the greatest tool for evangelism. Sometimes we go and hit the people in the head with this doctrine, that doctrine, that doctrine, so many doctrines, so much do and don'ts, that the person becomes discouraged and take off. They take off so fast because it looks like for them you have a gun, a loaded gun, and you're about to shoot. And they take off for their lives. Instead of being attracted to you, they run because of the do's and don'ts. The do's and don'ts have the place. The do's and don'ts are very easy for the people who knows how to love. When you love, do's and don'ts is a gift. It's not an obligation. Because the Lord is righteous and good. Say with me, is he righteous and good? Because the Lord is righteous and good. Say this 1,000 times, 2,000 times, so that it will be imprinted in your mind. God is good. I am his image. I must be good as well. He teaches sinners the path they should follow. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about, Jesus Christ? Even though this text is in the this is a quotation from the Psalms, Psalm 25, verse 8, Good News Translation, that describes perfectly the mission of Christ. Because the Lord, Jesus Christ, is righteous and good. He, Jesus Christ, teaches sinners the path that they should follow. Exactly. You can apply this also to the Holy Spirit. And you apply this, of course, to the Father. It says, how terrible it will be for people who call themselves Christians that sometimes they call good things bad. And they call the bad things good. And then to make everything sound good, they say is normal, the new normal. Who think darkness is light and light is darkness? That's the days that we live in. Who think sour is sweet and sweet is sour? Isaiah 5, verse 20, New King James Version. Look what it says. How terrible. Do you know why? People can get away today by confusing the issues. But judgment will come, and they have to answer for the deceptive ways. You are headed for trouble. This is another version. You say wrong is right. Darkness is light, and bitter is sweet. It's like a person is saying, you know what? God is wrong, Satan is right. Or light is wrong, darkness is right. How absurd that can be. And that's why you are headed for trouble if you believe this way. Now, I have shared this next slide a few years back, but I decided to bring it back. Have you ever seen, when you go to shopping for fruits, have you seen a fruit like this before? How come you don't see something like this on the market? It could be a good idea, don't you think so? And to sell you as a fruit, they have to staple the two parts together. But what about if you get this one? A lemon and an apple. That sometimes can represent a relationships that we get ourselves involved with. Sometimes we embrace a pear and think that eventually we will become only one fruit. Or sometimes we get ourselves a lemon, and even though we're an apple, we think that things will work. This is what the Bible says. You are not the same of those who do not believe. So do not join yourselves to them. Good and bad do not belong together. That's the reason why I'm using this text, is to continue with the emphasis that God cannot be good and bad. God is good. God is good. God is good. Got the point? All the time, not only when it's convenient. God, good and bad do not belong together. Light and darkness cannot be the same thing. It cannot. It's just common sense, folks. Just common sense. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, New Century Version. Now, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For the fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness. And I use this version, New King James, because it says, and what communion has light with darkness? And you know what communion means, right? To become one with. Light cannot become one with darkness. Good cannot. The Bible talks about Abba and Abaddon. One is the creator, another one is the destroyer. Don't get the issues confused, please. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. That's common sense. That the Bible appealing to common sense. You cannot say that God can be good and bad at the same time. God is good, and bad comes from the absence of God. It says, a fig tree, my friends, cannot bear olives, or a grapevine cannot bear figs, nor can a salty spring produce sweet water. You find this in James chapter 3, verse 11, 12, Good News Translation. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are no longer darkness, so you have no communion there, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. NIV. Continue saying, surely your goodness and love will be with me all my life. By the way, if you find God, don't let it go. Don't let it go, because it has to be. If you keep with Him, life keeps in you. If you let it go, life goes too. So the secret is stay. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I'll be part of God's church forever. Amen. I was baptized to be part of His family forever. Amen. I was not baptized just to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I was baptized to be part of His goodness forever. Amen. Psalm 23, verse 6, New Century Version. The Lord is good all the time. His love is eternal. And His faithfulness lasts for how long? Forever. And how long is going to be your relationship with God? Forever. How long are you going to embrace His goodness? Forever. Psalms 100, verse 5, Good News Translation. Give thanks to the Lord. This is the season we are called to be grateful. And let me make a point here that some of you may miss, and I don't want you to miss this ever again. How many Thanksgiving are in a year? How many Thanksgiving we have? I did this just for you to pay attention, not to tell you there's one. God has established in creation every week a day for you to show gratitude. The Sabbath is a Thanksgiving day. Every Sabbath. And some of you were not wrong when you say 365 days, because every day is a day of gratitude, of course. But the emphasis that God established the Sabbath, the intent of the Sabbath is for Thanksgiving, is for goodness. Amen. That is the intent of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not to be a ceremonial ritual that I have to go to church where I'm not going to be holy, then thou, I have to go to church. It's not about what you do, it's what you are, it's what you become. So because God is good, his love is eternal. And that is 1 Chronicles 16:34, Good News Translation. And you will find the same statement word by word in the book of Psalms as well. Be thankful and praise the Lord as you enter his temple. The Lord is good. His love and faithfulness will last forever. Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5, contemporary English version. The Lord is good. He protects those who trust him in times of trouble. Nahum 1, verse 7, contemporary English version. And by the way, I found so many texts stating that God is good. So many. You find them all over the Bible. You are good. Psalm 119, verse 68, David says in a New Living Translation, please say this with me. And do only good. I like that. Teach me your decrees, Lord. You are good and you do only, because that's his nature. He cannot be anything else. God changes not. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now we have it delivered to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Do you get the point? He does good, only good. He is light, and there is no darkness of any kind in him. That is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, New Living Translation. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the good God, the perfect God, and comes down from the Father of lights, who said he is the light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's James 1, verse 17, New King James. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us to God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or cast a shifting shadow. That is the same text in a New Living Translation. Now, we are made in the image of God. Let's reveal the goodness of his character. Romans 5 verse 8 says this, but God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. Don't forget this. This is a very revealing of the God's character. When we were still the enemies, he gave everything to have us back. That's goodness. You surely don't think much of God's wonderful goodness or of his patience and willingness to put up with you. I like this. Don't you know that the reason God is good to you is because he wants you back? He creates you, and God does not want to lose anything he has created, so he wants you back. That's why he's so gracious, so patient, because he wants you back at all costs. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, contemporary English version. Brothers and sisters, think about these things that are good. If you have your eyes to good things, it's because there's something good inside of you. When you are attracted to bad things, there's something bad inside of you. So please, contemplate what is good and you become good. Look for what is good and you will find good and life will be good. It says, think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Philippians 4 verse 8, New Century Version. In conclusion, my friends, my brothers and sisters, fill your minds with those things that are good, because God is good and that deserves praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. That's verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. We know that all things, God works for good with those who love Him, those whom He has called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And brothers and sisters, find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety in Him. If you seek His goodness, your life will be transformed today and forever. Now, brothers and sisters, the greatest gift, the greatest action, I should say, is giving. The greatest action is giving. The greatest gift is life. And Jesus is life, brother. The greatest feeling is love. And finally, the greatest attitude, gratitude. If you look at the word gratitude, you have a GR for God redeeming attitude. Every time you are grateful, you show this redeeming attitude of God. So be grateful. Be grateful. I was reading something in Hebrew. It's not that I know Hebrew, but this is a short thing. I was looking for the word thank you in Hebrew. And they said toda, but it says you have to say slowly. The person I advise says, in order for you to really mean it, you have to say it slowly. And I thought, here in English, I mean, United States, they say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we see sometimes in public, people say, if somebody yells from there, I love you. Yeah, I love you too. I have no idea where it comes from, but I love you too. We demean so much the meaning of things when we don't take the time to value them the way they are. This Thanksgiving, don't just say thank you without pausing and go slowly, just like they advised me. When you say toda. So the person to say, this person is thinking about what he's saying. It's meaningful. So when you talk to God, when you talk to a family member, as you celebrate the Thanksgiving together, don't let it be your Thanksgiving just about the turkey, because you may end up becoming a turkey yourself. Okay? Make sure that your Thanksgiving is about the one who has provided you with life, love, and eternal life. Amen. Eternity. May God bless you. And the last slide is my wish to you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving.